Go ahead and find your seats. Good morning and welcome to New Life Family Church. It's a great honor to have you here worshiping God with us today. I'd love to hear you guys worship like that. It was powerful. Josie, it's a little chilly up here. Did I turn the air on? I brought a sweater. Could I have my sweater, please? Thank you. It's a lot warmer with the sweater on. Because my team is hot. So this sweater is going to warm me up. Of course, I've gotten a lot fatter since this sweater was given to me. So you're going to look like you have to look at a stuffed sausage for the next 30 minutes. So, John, thank you for representing. John's wearing his Redskins gear because he's a big football fan, big Redskins fan. If you're visiting this morning and about to leave and go to a Dallas church, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and back in the 70s and 80s, the Redskins were actually really good. They were like the Patriots, you know, but they've been really bad for 25 years. You know what that's like, right, Cowboys fans? So today at 3:25, we're going to find out who is better. All hail the Washington Redskins. And if we lose, I expect my phone to be fully mocked and blown up. So, and if you wonder if I'm going to actually preach to a Dallas crowd in a Redskins t-shirt or sweater, you had better believe it. In spite of the fact that it's a lot warmer and a lot itchier than I had really planned for it to be, yeah. I don't know that ugly Christmas sweaters were meant to be comfortable to wear, so. There was a poll taken in 2015 to Americans, and the question was, what religion do you identify with? And 75% of Americans said they identify as Christians, which sounds amazing. But my advice for you today is to stop being a Christian. Man, if that would have worked, I'd have looked amazing. But now I'm just a guy in a Redskins sweater that points and nothing happens. My advice to you today is to stop being a Christian. Now, before you tweet that, give me a few minutes to teach you what I mean. Because in 1990, a poll was taken of Americans, and 85% of Americans said they identified as Christian. So we've lost 10% of America in 20 years. So we have a lot of Christians in America. It would be my opinion from a guy that does this for a living that we have fewer disciples. So today we're going to talk about discipleship, and I'm going to ask three questions. And I'll give you the three questions now, and then we'll break them down. The first question is, what is a disciple? The second question is, what does a disciple do? And the third question is for you, and it says, am I a disciple of Jesus? So before we talk about discipleship, I want to circle back around to that word Christian. Where do we get the word Christian? What is a Christian? If 75% of Americans identify as Christians, what does it mean to be a Christian? Acts chapter 11 and verse 25. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When they found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching them and teaching to large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. So most Bible scholars would agree that the early church, you know, Peter, James, John, Paul, all those churches that we read about in the New Testament, they would not have considered themselves Christians. They would not have referred to themselves as Christians. In fact, it was the Greeks in Antioch that first referred to these Jesus followers as Christians, because the word Christian simply means belonging to Christ. Now that sounds nice. I belong to Jesus. Praise hallelujah. But most historians believe that it was actually meant to mock the Christians, that it was like, these are the crazy Christians, you know, like these people are nuts. They say that they belong to Jesus, wink, wink, nod, nod. So the word Christian was originally derogatory, but here's the deal. It obviously became adopted, you know, grammatically to the church, to believers and followers of Jesus. But in the Bible, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, the word Christian is used three times, and I just read you one of them. The word disciple is used over 275 times in Scripture. Do you ever get the feeling that God cares a lot more about you being a disciple than claiming to be a Christian? Jesus is looking for disciples, not people that just say, I'm a Christian. So my title of my message is Stop Being a Christian, Be a Disciple. So I asked you, what we're going to break down is those three questions. The first question is, what is a disciple? Disciple, if you were to define it, would literally mean a disciplined follower, fully committed to follow and adhere to the teachings of a religious leader. And our religious leader is Jesus. Come on, somebody. So fully committed, fully devoted to follow and to adhere to the teachings, a disciplined follower. So this is not just a student. This is not just an observer. This is not just a learner. This is the kind of person where you're going to take your chips and slide them all to the center of the table, drop your hand on the table and say, I'm all in with Jesus. He's my ride or die. I'm all in. I'm going, I will do nothing else but follow Jesus. And here's the thing about being a disciple. It was an invitation. You know, you've all been invited to a birthday party. You've been invited to a wedding. You get the invitation. You're like, oh, that's sweet. I've been invited to go eat overcooked chicken and, you know, sit there for hours while they have inside jokes about things that I don't know anything about. That's wonderful. I will never get a wedding invitation again. But it feels good to be invited to the birthday party. It feels good to be invited to the ugly Christmas sweater party. It feels good to get invited somewhere. Jesus is inviting you somewhere. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, he called Peter, and Andrew. And these two brothers were throwing a net into the water because they were fishermen for a living. Verse 19, Jesus called out, hey boys, come, follow me, and I'm going to show you how to fish for people. So they thought about it for a while. They hemmed and they hawed. They watched Jesus' podcast live, and they would occasionally go to church once in a while. They'd be 10 minutes late, but that's cool. They'd throw 10 bucks in the hat because they felt guilty for not giving more. They would, you know, not be involved in life group. They'd not be involved in a dream team. They were just kind of like, nah, just kind of there. What does verse 20 say? They left their nets at once and followed him. My bad. See, I got that wrong. I should study better. Because when Jesus said, hey, I see that you're working and doing your job, why don't you stop doing that and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they were like, okay, and they just followed Jesus. I guess I'm a disciple now because I'm going to follow him. They left their jobs. They left their safety net. They left their income to go follow Jesus. And may I remind you that this is Matthew chapter 4. Jesus hasn't done a miracle yet. Jesus hasn't walked on water yet. He hasn't multiplied food yet. He hasn't raised the dead yet. He was just a young rabbi that said, hey, instead of fishing for fish, you want to fish for people? And they were like, okay, I'm in. It was an RSVP to an invitation. And I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is offering you the same invitation. Hey, New Life Family Church, follow me. And you're like, yes, I get to be a Jesus follower. Not just a Christian on a pole. I get to be a Jesus disciple. There is a bit of a warning. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. You cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Okay, never mind. I won't be a disciple no more. I just got a new TV. And I have a nice new car. And I got to go shopping and I look cute in this outfit. And I got a raise. And now Jesus and this guy in this ugly sweater are saying, I have to give up everything. I have to give up everything I own to be a Jesus follower. Maybe I'd just rather check the checkbox that says I'm a Christian instead. And then let me give you everybody's favorite verse on discipleship, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Jesus said to New Life Family Church, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Deny themselves and die. Deny themselves and take up their execution chair, their lethal injection, their thing that's going to kill them so they can follow Jesus. It's all or nothing. Sacrifice is absolutely expected to follow Jesus. Because if you want to live for Jesus, you're going to have to die to your old life. You can't claim to be a Christian and still living in your old life. It's all or nothing. And too often we go to church and we look at churchianity and we look at Christianity and we go, what's in it for me? God, what can you do for me? What can you do for my heart? What can you do for my marriage? What can you do for my spouse? Because you know they need a little something, God. What can you do for my kids? What can you do for my family? Wrong. A disciple says, God, what can I do for you? Or even better, God, what can you do through me so that I can reach people for you? So what is a disciple? A disciplined follower. What's the second question? What does the disciple do? Well, these dudes, we read about Peter and Andrew, and there were 10 others, the 12 disciples, they literally left their jobs and they went into full-time ministry to follow this young rabbi, this young teacher. And they walked with him. They lived with him for 3.5 years. They served in his ministry. They listened to him. They took notes. They challenged themselves. They pushed themselves to think differently. And then after a while, when Jesus felt like they understood enough of the kingdom, he said, all right, boys, I'm going to send you out to go do what I've been doing. I've been preaching. I've been laying hands on people. I've been doing stuff. Now you go do all that stuff in my name. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. That's what disciples do, is they heal the sick, they raise the dead, they cure leprosy. And I know we don't have a lot of leprosy in 2018. How about they cure cancer? Come on, somebody. Like, oh, easy Redskins guy. Can we just pray for a headache? Not even a migraine, just like the little one in the front? Heal the sick. This is what disciples, you asked the question. Or I made you ask the question. What do disciples do? They heal the sick. They raise the dead. They cure the sick. I mean, they cure cancer. They cure leprosy. And they cast out demons. Jesus gave them his name. Because that's where the power, the authority, the faith is in the name of Jesus. And he gave it to you and me. And he gave it to the disciples for free. So as long as you've received it for free, you might as well give it away for free. What does a disciple do today in 2018? The same thing. We're called to do the same thing. Disciples, they follow Jesus. They learn from Jesus. They imitate Jesus. They lead other people to Jesus. They raise the dead. They cure the sick. They cast out demons. How are you doing in your discipleship program? Something else disciples do. They produce fruit for the kingdom. You can examine the tree of your life, the tree of your heart, the tree of your marriage and say, am I producing fruit for Jesus? Because John chapter 15 and verse 8 says, when you produce much fruit, not even a little fruit, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, New Life Family Church, because this brings great glory and joy to the Father in heaven. If there's no Jesus fruit coming off your life, you might be a Christian, but not yet a disciple. If y'all wanted to go to like the church that makes you feel good and tickle your tummy, this ain't it. You want to get challenged to go deeper in your walk with God? You're in the right place. Come on, somebody. What is a disciple? Somebody that dies to themselves to lay down their life, to adhere to imitate the teachings of Jesus. What does a disciple do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, imitate Jesus, love people the way Jesus loved people, study Jesus' life, study the word, and produce fruit for Jesus. Not just fruit. Jesus said much fruit, that you would produce much fruit. So here's the third question. Am I a disciple? And this is for you to examine your own heart, your own life, your own mind, for the Holy Spirit, for God to help shine a light. Am I a disciple? Imagine if it were a poll, and there was a slide that came up that said, are you a Christian? Would you check the checkbox? Or what if there was a second slide that said, are you a fully committed disciple of Jesus that has died to my old life and now I live to see the kingdom of God come on earth, that I walk with Jesus, I study Jesus, I imitate Jesus? Yeah, I'm a disciple. Check that box. Listen, New Life Family Church, Jesus is inviting you. You have an engraved invitation with your name on it to be a Jesus disciple. Not just somebody that checks a box and says, yeah, I'm a Christian, I guess. Yeah. But somebody that says, no, I'm so much more than a Christian. I stopped being a Christian a long time ago. I'm a Jesus disciple. He's calling you. He's inviting you. He's come to your boat. He's come to your car. He's come to your house. He's come to wherever you work. He said, hey, follow me. But I just want to, before you get all excited and clap and tweet, I want to remind you of some of the costs that Jesus said there were going to be. We've already read that you're going to have to die. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25, a large crowd of Christians in gigantic American churches all over the place were following Jesus. In verse 25, he turned to the crowd and he said, if you want to be my disciple, by comparison, you have to hate everyone else. He's not saying you have to hate people, But he's saying, by comparison, you have to hate your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters. I love my wife desperately. I love my kids desperately. But Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, by comparison, you got to love me more. In fact, you know how much you love your own life? You need to lay down your life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. Verse 27, if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So one more time, verse 26, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Imagine if there was a love meter in your heart. As much as you love your wife, your kids, your dog, some people I think love cats, I'm not quite sure. As much as you can love a sports team, you need to peg the needle on how much you love Jesus, because you love Jesus more. Yeah. I couldn't find a slide that said that, so I had to make my own in PowerPoint. I had to add Jesus. I love Jesus more. You see what I'm saying? And that's by comparison, that you can't like Jesus. You have to love him. When my kids are going out with friends, or they're meeting new people, or they're developing life, I say, hey, I'm glad you're gonna go out with Billy or Susie or Bobby or Tommy. Do they like Jesus or love Jesus? And my kids hate that question. Because I wanna know who my kids are hanging out with. Do they like Jesus? Are they just a 75% Christian? Or do they love Jesus? Church, I double dog dare you to go from liking him to loving him desperately. Because being a Jesus disciple, it's like a wild adventure. And you gotta love every minute of it. And not everything is gonna be amazing. You will go through difficult times. But I tell you, as amazing as it is, I love it and I never wanna go back to being a Christian. I wanna be a disciple. Now remember, you have to count the cost. Like the last week or so, I don't know if you understand what that big glowing yellow orb in the sky is. That's the sun. But if you did go out last week in the rain, you can't complain that you got wet. If you go out in August in Texas, you can't complain that it's hot. If you go out into the wilderness, you can't complain that it's the wilderness. If you're wondering why I picked these mountains behind me, this is the Grand Teton National Forest in Wyoming. And I found these guest comment cards that were dropped in at the forest at the park rangers at the Bridger Wilderness Park at the Teton National Forest in Wyoming. And there were these comments from their guests at the park. Trails need to be reconstructed. If you know anything about trails, they're on a park that big, they're not constructed. They're just animal trails that you happen to be walking down. Please avoid building new trails that go uphill. It's true. Too many bugs, leeches, spiders, spider webs. Could you please spray to rid the area of these pests? Could you please pave the trails? This was a great one. Chairlifts would be nice so we can reach the wonderful views without having to hike them. I love this one from a campsite. The coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Could you please eradicate these annoying animals? Another one from the campsite. Some animal came into my camp and stole a brand new jar of pickles. Is there any way I could get reimbursed for that? And the last one. A McDonald's near the trailhead would be amazing. It's like we're saying, yeah, there was too many rocks in the Rocky Mountains. Listen, if you're gonna be a Jesus disciple, you have to embrace the Jesus stuff. It's not Burger King. You don't get it your way, you get it his way. You can't do it your way. You can't do it on your own. Well, this is the way I follow Jesus. Well, you're an idiot. Why don't you follow Jesus the way that he said to follow him? It's not like Jesus was like, hey, Peter, Andrew, follow me. And then he's like, wait, I want to do it my way. He's like, stay there. I'll go find somebody else. Stop trying to dictate to Jesus how you're going to be a disciple. It means that you're going to be radical. You're going to be extreme. You're going to be a nut. You're going to be a crazy Christian. You're going to be all in. You're not going to hold anything back. What is this mamby-pamby, limp-wristed, kumbaya Christianity? Where did that crap come from? I'm not having it at New Life. You could go to another church and be that guy. Here, we're going to love Jesus desperately. We're going to love our city extremely well. We're going to live holy. We're going to study the Bible. We're going to follow and imitate Jesus. We're going to love people so well that it's like they feel like Jesus is loving them. We're going to love Jesus so much, it practically seems like we hate our own family. Not that we hate our own family. It's that's how much we love Jesus. We're crazy about him. Now, I know that this morning's message has a lot of grammatical semantics. There was an ancient Aramaic term. Aramaic is ancient Hebrew, that the term for hate. But it didn't actually mean hate. It meant like a lesser love. It was a slang word for that day that I just wanted to clarify. He didn't literally mean you have to hate. It does mean you have to lesser love everybody else because you so desperately love Jesus. Every time somebody comes to me and they're like, hey, pastor, I'm struggling in our marriage. I'm like, okay, so what are you loving more than Jesus? Because then anytime that you've allowed something to come into your life or your heart that separates you from Jesus, you're not going to be able to do things the way he's called you to do it. Three questions. What's a disciple? What do disciples do? And am I a disciple? So you have to ask yourself, have you paid the price to be a disciple? We read it before. I'm going to read it again. Matthew 16:24. Whoever wants to be a Jesus disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So you want to answer the third question, am I a disciple? Look on your back. Is there a cross attached to it? Have you died to sin? Have you died to selfishness? Have you died to loneliness, anxiety, fear, anger, depression, lust, getting drunk, sleeping with somebody you're not married to, stealing? Have you died to the occult? Have you died to anything other than Jesus? You ever moved to a new city and had to change sport teams? No. But I listen to sports radio, and it's like from August to January, all they talk about is the Cowboys, and it kind of makes me a little nauseous because I don't get Washington sports radio. But it's like switching sports team to go from being a Christian to a disciple. You ever had to lose weight and you go on a strict diet or you go keto or you stop drinking sugar, or you stop drinking coffee, or it's hard, right? You have to kill your flesh to do the new thing. But aren't you glad you did it? Aren't you glad you lost the weight? Aren't you glad you whatever? It's kind of like we have a lot of brand new Christians, and you may not have been a Christian 2 years ago or 4 years ago during elections, but there's an election coming up next month. I'm not going to get political, but I will say at New Life Family Church, we believe that abortion is murder and that our nation has murdered millions and millions of children. Now, I also need to be careful. We have women in this room that have had abortions. We've all done stupid, sinful things. But I can also tell you this. If you're considering an abortion, Josie and I will adopt that baby. There's hundreds of families that I know that would adopt children over abortion. So I can't personally, and we can't as a church, ever endorse a candidate that's pro-abortion. We haven't even gotten to politics. We haven't even gotten to the economy. That is a big deal for me. It's a really big deal for me. But could you imagine switching political parties? Wouldn't that freak you out? If for 20, 30, 40 years, I voted one way and I believed in XYZ political party, but then something changed in your life, in your heart, where your core values are different. And you're like, wow, I never thought about it, but I guess I can't vote for XYZ party. I have to vote my conscience, which has changed. I get that can be crazy difficult. When you go from being a Christian to being a disciple, it's in your soul. It's different. It's your whole core belief. Everything's different, by the way, regarding the election. The vast majority of Christians did not vote in the last Senate and congressional races 4 years ago. So I'm not going to tell you which way to vote. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm asking you to vote. By all means. Find out what your local polling station is. It might be too late to switch if you haven't registered. I don't know the details of that. But please, 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 cast your vote in a couple of weeks. It matters. It's like changing political parties to go from being a Christian to being a disciple. But that's the invitation that Jesus is offering you today. Will you go all in? Will you just slide your chips all in the table and be like, man, I'm sick of living for me. I'm going to go all in living for Jesus. Hop up on your feet. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you invite us into this intimate pursuit of your presence, of your kingdom, of your word, even though we're sinners. And even though sometimes we're so far from you, we're so distant from you, you still have given us the invitation, come, follow me. And Lord, I look at what Christianity has become in America, and I'm not even sure I want to be a Christian. But Lord, I want to be a disciple that has died to my personal self so that I can passionately pursue loving you, serving you, loving other people well, praying for the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, so that the name of Jesus would be glorified. Father, I want there to be great fruit in my life, fruit at New Life Family Church, fruit that remains, that gives honor to the Father in heaven. Lord, we've taken 30 minutes and we've discussed what is a disciple and what disciples do, but Lord, to answer the question, am I a disciple? Help us to say yes to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody moving around for the next few minutes, just ask God, Lord, have I really been a true disciple? That's between you and the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. Lord, have I really been your disciple? Because he's inviting you into that place. Still, with nobody looking around, if you're here this morning and you would be honest and say, man, I haven't been a disciple of Jesus. I wouldn't even have considered myself a Christian. I've been so far from God. But today, man, I want to repent of my sin. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life, and I want to start my discipleship journey. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that, but just you get yourself ready to pray that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you have been a Christian but not a disciple. Maybe you have been allowing sin in your life. Maybe you've allowed death in your life. Maybe you've allowed something to separate you from being a disciple. Maybe you knew the Lord as a young person, as a child, as a teenager, but life got in the way, marriage got in the way, student loans got in the way, or work got in the way. And lately, you'd be honest and say, man, I've become like a prodigal that's run from God. But today, I'm returning. I'm going to run back into the arms of a loving Father, and I'm going to be a disciple again. So if you're either of those two groups of people, maybe you've never known the Lord, or maybe you haven't known the Lord in a long time, but either way, today is the day that you want to repent of your sin, you want to pray and ask God to forgive you, you want to receive that gift of eternal life, man, it would be my highest honor to lead you in that prayer. But I'd like to know who I'm praying for. So real quick, raise your hand up real high and say, preacher, I'm one of those two people. I got to get right with God today. So raise your hand up so I know who I'm praying for. I saw a hand there in the back. I see that hand on the side. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand up real high so I know who I'm praying for. All right. So I saw two people raise their hand. What do you think, church? That's pretty good. That's good news. You know, for the sake of these two and for the others that were too afraid to raise their hand for some reason, why don't we all pray this together? Pray it out loud. Say, dear Jesus, I want to be a Christian and I want to be a disciple. So please forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I take up my cross so I can follow you. I die to my old life so I can live for you. Jesus, be the Lord of my life, the Lord of my heart, and I will follow you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What for those two people, what do you think of that, everybody? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody.